Hey, good morning, church family. Hey, did you know there's joy in the house of the Lord today? Well, come on, let's stand up. Let's engage our hearts, our minds, our emotion, because Jesus is here, and there's joy where Jesus is.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in His place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out your praise.
Come on, church, y'all know this. We sing. Sing it out.
We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way.
Turn to somebody next to you and say, good morning, with a big smile on your face. It's good to be together this morning.
So much joy today in the house.
Yes, it really is good to be together, to encourage one another in our faith. Hey, this morning we have some in the baptistry that are going to bring their encouragement to us as we observe the ordinance of baptism, change lives to the glory of Jesus. So let's watch this morning.
Good morning, church family. There is joy in the house of the Lord as we celebrate believers' baptism today. And I bring before you first Miss Sawyer Coomber, Sawyer is 7 years old in first grade, and it was just over a month ago that Sawyer began asking questions. Who is Jesus to me? What is the gospel? And through the discipleship of her parents, Dion and Brittany, Sawyer placed her faith in Jesus as the Lord and Savior of her life. And she's been through the New Christians class, and she is here today to publicly profess her faith in our Lord and Savior. And so, Sawyer, are you being baptized today because you have placed your faith in Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes.
Based on your public profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Next in the water this morning is Ainsley Hutchinson. Ainsley was raised around God, but never placed her faith in His Son for her salvation. And it was actually in college, through both the discipleship of her grandmother and some amazing influences in college, that Ainsley, for the first time, placed her faith in Jesus as the Lord and Savior of her life. And she is here today to publicly profess that faith. And so, Ainsley, are you being baptized today because you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes.
Based on your public profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And church family, this is Brian Hutchinson, Ainsley's father. Brian grew up in a Christian home, but he actually spent much of his life away from God. But it was by God's grace and in God's plan that God brought Brian back into the family. And he is here today to publicly profess his faith in Jesus and to establish his family as a family of faith and to lead them as such. And so, Brian, are you being baptized today because you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes, brother.
All right, because of your profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen. Well, we celebrate alongside of Sawyer and Ainsley and Brian, and it is a joy to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Well, good morning, church family. If we have not had the opportunity to meet in person yet, my name is Tasha, and I serve the women of Prestonwood. And on behalf of our entire staff team, we are so thankful that you have chosen to worship with us on this beautiful morning, which is more than I can say for the rest of the week we have just experienced. It's been a little crazy here in North Texas, but we are so glad that the skies have parted and you have chosen to be in worship with us this morning. And if you are joining us as a guest, we are especially thankful that you are here, and we would love to get to know you. And so at the conclusion of this service, we would invite you to join us out in the atrium, where we'll have some of our staff team and leadership out there. We'd love to put a gift in your hand and just hear a little bit about you and how you came to join us today at Prestonwood. And for those of you who are joining us online, we are also excited to connect with you. In fact, you can text the word CONNECT to 55125, and we will get some information to you as well. Psalm 98:1 says, "Oh, sing a new song to the Lord, for He has done marvelous things." And this week, we are praying for marvelous things right here on this campus at Adventure Week. It is going to be a wonderful week where we welcome over 2,000 kids and students for ministry right here on this campus. You probably noticed that things look a little different in the atrium. We are getting ready for these kids and students, and we are so excited, and we still have things to do. And so if you have questions about your child's registration, or if you're still interested in volunteering, I would invite you to check out our booth in the atrium. And if you have kids that have registered and have not picked up their t-shirt, that is also where you need to go to get that t-shirt. And so at a minimum, we would ask that you all be praying for this team that's going to be serving the kids this week at Adventure Week. It's going to be a wonderful opportunity. community. Well, as the ushers come forward, as we prepare to continue through worship with giving of tithes and offerings, I want to let you know that we have Pastor Scott Turner in the house today. Pastor Scott is with us, and he's going to be continuing our series On the Way Home. And so we are excited for you to hear that message from him. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are so thankful for who you are. We are so thankful for the transformation that you bring in the lives of people, even like Brian and Ainsley and Sawyer this morning. God, continue to do new things through your marvelous work and the works of your hand right here, even in this building. Father, we thank you for your hand of protection this week over so many, even our brothers and sisters in Plano who have sustained damage to their church building. But Lord, they are there gathering and worship. So we just ask that your hand of provision would remain on us, Lord. Help those who have been affected by these storms, Father, to find refuge in you. And Lord, as we prepare to give through tithes and offerings and just offer up our praise, I pray that it would be a sweet smelling aroma to you, Father. We love you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we continue to worship this morning?
In the darkness, we will wait without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from the throne of endless glory to a cradle.
Freedom.
are the King of Kings. All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? That I could sing these songs as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, a hallelujah. Nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing it together. I've got one response.
That's right.
I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide,
oh, I will worship you, Jesus.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a
else fit for a king.
Praise the Lord. Jesus, we worship you. That's not just a song, but it's our heart's cry today. We sing hallelujah, hallelujah. And we welcome your presence here, Lord. Break us and make us by your word today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beautiful. Let's be seated.
Good morning. How's everybody? Can we give God praise together? Amen. Yes. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. How about those storms? Let not your heart be troubled. How many know God is greater than any storm we face? Thank you to all of those who have helped in helping others in the storm. Carter and Julie and Grace Bridge and the church, thank you for what you are doing. And I was reminded during these storms, doesn't matter what we face in life, God is greater. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I want to let you know that God is greater. I don't know what storm you're facing, but I want to remind you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. 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 God is a good, good father. Well, my name is Scott Turner, for those who do not know, and I'm humbled to serve as associate pastor here at Prestonwood. And I want to thank Pastor Connor for allowing me to stand before my beloved family at Prestonwood North. I'm so happy to see you. I don't know why Connor doesn't let me come up here more, but anyway. Sorry, Connor, if you're listening. No, I'm happy to be with you. I love Connor and Mary. I love their family. And I want you to know I love you. And I also add with Tasha my greeting to those that are here and those that are watching online. It's a great pleasure to be before you. Let me pray before we start. Lord, I thank you for these your children. God, we give you the glory and the praise. And Lord, we do say, hallelujah, Jesus, you are so awesome. Thank you for bringing us together on this day. We humble ourselves before you that you may be lifted up. Let us not hear from a man, but help us to hear from the power and the presence and the voice of God. Lord Jesus, may you have your way. Welcome, Holy Spirit, in this place. May our hearts be attentive and may our ears be open to the word of God today. In Jesus' name, everybody say it. So a couple of years ago, I worked with a gentleman who preached at Plano campus last week. His name is Dr. Ben Carson. When I was working in at the White House in the Trump administration, Dr. Carson was my mentor. He was my boss. How many know that was a blessing? And Dr. Carson often says that strong families equal strong communities. The title of our message today, as we continue on in this Way Home series, the title today is Fight for the Family. Fight for the Family. I see a lot of families in here today, and I know there's a lot of watching online. And today we will be discussing how we fight for the family. And Dr. Carson often says strong families equal strong communities. When the families are strong, the communities of America have a better opportunity to be strong. He says in his book, The Perilous Fight, Overcoming Our Culture's War on the American Family. He says this, and I quote, "For the vast majority of human history, traditional families have served as the basic building blocks of communities and societies." He goes on to say, throughout history, America has benefited from this virtuous cycle founded on the family. Healthy families produce not just healthy children, not just healthy individuals, but entire generations of healthy families. Our nation has flourished because families have flourished. He says, unfortunately, there is another side of the coin. If the ripple effect of healthy families creates a blessing for the nation, that same effect will produce a curse when those families are unhealthy. Unhealthy families produce not just unhealthy individuals, but entire generations of unhealthy families, which is exactly what we see in our culture today. Church family, when there is a breakdown in the family, there is a breakdown in the community. Are we in agreement? When there is a breakdown in the family, there is a breakdown in the community. Each of us in this room today, each of us watching online, we understand and recognize the attempt to break down and to destroy the nuclear or the traditional family in American culture today. Y'all remember the old TV shows? The Brady Bunch, or the Waltons, or the Cosby Show, Little House on the Prairie, even the Beverly Hillbillies. Y'all remember those? There was always lessons on how to overcome as a family, to stick together as a family, to celebrate and to be proud of the family unit. There was a man and a woman, a husband and a wife and children around the table. But over the last decade or so, and I know you've seen what I've seen, the shows on TV are totally different. The traditional nuclear family, if you will, is no longer the norm. No longer do we see a father and a mother in the house. It's not abnormal now to see two moms or two dads raising the children, dysfunctionality being the norm, children with entitlement, disrespecting their parents, divorce being celebrated, cohabitation being healthy and a thing to do. That's what we see on TV today. Am I missing anything? I was reading Pastor Condo's book, Gospel in the Home, Turning Chaos into Order. And there's a section titled, God Alone is the Definer of Marriage. And in this particular session, he and his co-author, Pastor Todd Connors, they said this. In Genesis 2:24, they refer to this passage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They go on to explain this word cleave. It implies a covenant. Cleave implies a covenant, and in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, cleave means to be glued to something. It means to be united to someone in covenant. Covenant is a binding promise or an oath. Now, they went on to say that God's definition of marriage has always been a covenant. But in the world today, we treat marriage oftentimes like a contract. I've been married going on 29 years, and this was challenging for me. Do I treat my marriage like a contract or a covenant? And I want to challenge and encourage all of those that are married this morning to treat your marriage like a covenant and like a contract. They describe the difference between covenant and contract, which I thought was so good. A covenant is binding, but a contract is conditional. A covenant is based on giving, but a contract is based on receiving. A covenant is about serving, but a contract is about receiving or being served. A covenant says, I will, but a contract says, I will if you do. When we as husbands and wives, when we approach and treat our marriages as being a covenant from God and not a contract, I believe that not only will our marriages be stronger, but our families will be stronger, and therefore our communities will be stronger. Amen? Are we all connecting the dots? It's amazing how things have changed. Or better yet, how things have deteriorated right before our eyes as it pertains to the attack on the family unit. Disincentivizing the two-parent home by perverse incentives created by the government and the welfare system, which in turn creates an epidemic of fatherlessness in our country. Here's a fact. 18.3 million kids in America today live without a father in the home. That's one in four children. Now, scenarios are different, situations are different. We all understand that. But the fact of the matter is there is an epidemic of fatherlessness in our country, 18.3 million and growing because of perverse incentives not to have two parents in the home. There's a big push in our culture to get married later or not to get married at all. And if you do get married, don't have kids. Just make as much money as you can as man and woman and then live your best life. What does that mean? I can't find it in the Bible. And if somebody finds that in the Bible, please come talk to me after church. The Bible says this, to be fruitful and multiply, to subdue the earth and to take dominion. That's the word of God. My wife and I got married almost 29 years ago. I was 23. My wife was 25. We have failed together. We have grown together. We have lived together. We have served God together. We have been on mountaintops. We have been in valley lows. But we have done it together as a covenant marriage. And I encourage people today, don't be afraid. Don't listen to this ungodly society saying that marriage is not good or that you don't need to get married. Trust God for your husband. Trust God for your spouse, no matter what stage of life you're in, because God blesses covenant, godly marriage. Amen? Amen. You know, when you look at society today and you wonder what is going on, what has happened? The answer is simple. Here's the answer. We have turned away from the Lord. We have lost our way. No longer is God the North Star. He is not our direction or our compass any longer. No longer is the Bible the final authority in our life. No longer is godly conviction and godly humility about the people of God as it pertains to family, marriage, and the community. That's a simple answer. We've turned away from God. And in recognition of these things and having a clear understanding, I always want us to have, one, recognize, two, clearly understand what's going on. When we understand this, we know that we need to get back to the basics and shore up the foundation. And we have to fight for our families. How many know it's a fight? How many know it's a fight, I said? Whatever your family makeup is, traditional family, two parents in the home, whether you're a single parent, a blended family, whatever the case is, fight. Fight for the family that God has given you. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Are y'all with me? Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. He says, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your home. We'll read it again. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. What is the context here? What's going on in Nehemiah? Back in chapter 1, Nehemiah found out, he got a report that those who had escaped exile, the Jews who had escaped exile and were back in Jerusalem, that they were in great trouble, that they were disgraced and they were shamed, that the walls had been torn down and the gates had been destroyed by fire. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes, and he went into his presence one day, and the Bible says his face was long, his face was sad, and the king said, "Why is there sadness in your heart?" And Nehemiah explained to him the situation that was going on with his countrymen. He explained to him the situation that was going on back in Judah and back in Jerusalem, that the city was torn down, that the gates had been burned with fire. And he asked the king for permission to go back to the city to rebuild and to check on his countrymen. And the king, not only did he give him permission, but he said, "Yes, you can go." And he gave him letters for safe passage. He gave him building materials for the gate, for the city, and for the home that he would stay in. How many know that God's favor was on Nehemiah? An ungodly king gave this Hebrew little Jewish man favor to go back and rebuild the city for Jerusalem, the Jews, and rebuild the gate that had been torn by fire. And you know, though King Artaxerxes gave Nehemiah the rite of passage, protection, and building material, Nehemiah faced great opposition from two guys and more, but these two are named Sanballat and Tobiah. Sanballat and Tobiah were greatly displeased that Nehemiah would even have the audacity to seek the welfare of the Jewish people. But regardless of this opposition, regardless of their hatred for him, after inspecting the walls, the Bible says, inspecting the walls and seeing the damage, he told the people, "Let's go to work. Let's get this wall rebuilt." Do y'all see the courage and the attitude of Nehemiah? How about us? How many in here this morning have this same kind of courage? How many in here this morning have the same kind of attitude when it comes to your walk with God? When it comes to fighting and protecting the health and the posterity of your family? You know that there's a battle. You know that there's great opposition. But how's your courage this morning? In the midst of this great battle that you and I are fighting and facing in this deteriorating culture, the naysayers and the opposition from the devil, the world, and the flesh, are you willing to stand up and to fight for your families? That's the question before us this morning. And you say, "Well, Pastor Scott, how do I fight?" I'm willing, but what's the application? Number one, you got to know who you're fighting. Know who the enemy is. Don't fight blind. The devil is the enemy. And the devil is real. Sometimes even in the church, in the Christian community, sometimes I'm concerned that we are either oblivious to, we ignore, or we don't care that the devil is real. Well, church family, I'm telling you this morning, the Bible says in John 10:10 that he is real. It says he has come only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That is the purpose for which he is here, to kill, steal, and to destroy you, me, lovers of Jesus, and your family. Are you with me? Know who you're fighting. Know who the enemy is. Know what his purpose is. From day one, the devil has been attacking the family. The first institution created by God our Father was the family, husband and wife, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. And what did the enemy do? He brought division, he brought confusion, he brought deception, and ultimately led to sin. That's what he does. He attacks the family. And now he's attacking the family, and he's doing this through the most vulnerable of us, and that is our children. He's attacking the American family, godly families, righteous families, through the children. Lies on social media, deception on social media, indoctrination in our schools of Marxism, critical race theory, and so many other bad policies. They even have policies now that'll keep you and me, parents, from knowing what our children are doing in schools today. Did you know that? not giving the parents permission to give permission or not so to children in schools today. He's attacking us through the vulnerability of the children, bad policies, indoctrination, social media, diffusion and division, and kids now wondering, am I a boy, am I a girl, this gender identity. Y'all, that is the devil. The Bible says there's a man and there's a woman. There is no other gender but man and woman, amen? The devil likes to bring confusion like he did in Nehemiah. Confusion and strife. Pit sons against fathers. Daughters against mothers. And I'm going to take a minute right here. Young people. Daughters and sons. God gave us mothers and fathers for a reason. Or mother and father figures for a reason. The enemy likes to bring division and discourse and confusion and diversion and wedges between sons and fathers, mothers and daughters. That is not God. Remember, the enemy only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We have to fight him. Nehemiah recognized the enemy, Sanballat and Tobiah. He despised them. He taunted the Jews. He spoke defeat and doubt amongst them, just like the enemy does today. It's not a new fight. But let's be encouraged. In the word, John 8:44, it says that the devil's native tongue is to lie. He's a master of deception and the father of lies. Y'all, all he can do is lie. Are you with me? His native tongue, language, is to lie. God is not a man. He cannot lie. The devil's native tongue is to lie. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, it is a lie. Are you with me? I'm just preaching the word. Proverbs 23:23 says this, buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The devil's native tongue is to lie. He is the father of lies. Proverbs 23 says, buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction. How much time are you spending in here? You say, well, I don't know the difference between a lie and the truth. Do you know your word? Y'all with me? Know who you're fighting against. Number two, how else do we fight? You got to call out to God in prayer. Call out to Jesus in prayer. Call out to the Lord in prayer. Nehemiah did. Look at verse 4 of chapter 4. Verse 4 says this. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. Look at verse 9, and it says, and we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. Cry out to God. Nehemiah said, hear, O God. Are you praying today? You want to fight for your family? Fight on your knees. You shouldn't have pretty knees. Theoretically speaking. It's all right if you do. But not if you ain't been on them praying. You ought to keep lotion by you because your knees are scarred up and ashy. Because you've been on your knees. Are y'all with me? That's where the battle is won. Pray. Travail in prayer. We need to stop doing these drive-by prayers. Oh, Lord, thank you. I'm on my way to work. I appreciate you. Thank you, Lord. Bless my family. I'm gone. No. That's what the devil wants you to do. You know, we do drive-by prayers like that. You know what the devil says? Got him. Oh, I got her. They're not serious. You got to pray and ask the Lord to help you. Pray for unity in your family. Pray for God's favor of your family. Pray for your wife, your husband. Pray for your kids. Speak the promises of God over your life, over your family. Never cease praying. Stay in the presence of God. Have an attitude of prayer. Speak God's word. Lord, I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Lord, you're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Lord, you said no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Speak this word over your family, over your kids. When your kids get out of your car on the way to school, speak the word and the promises of God over their life. Lord, I pray you be a hedge of protection around them, around beneath them, before them. Lord, you are the great and mighty reward. No weapon formed against them. Y'all speak the word of God. Pray over your family and your children. Don't just give your husband or your wife a kiss on the way out and forget about it. Cover them in prayer. Y'all real quiet. Are you with me? Pray. Pray. Travail. Fight for your family in prayer. Number three, take inventory and shore up the foundations. Take inventory. What's causing you to win and what's causing you to lose? How's your foundation? Get back to the basics. Don't be afraid to take inventory because of what you might see or what you might not see. Don't be afraid of the truth. I'm going to start with the mamas and the daddies, the husbands and the wives. Let's take inventory of ourselves. Are you right with God? You want to fight for your family? Look in the mirror. How, daddies in here today, how's your time in the word and in prayer? How's your relationship with the Lord? How's your fellowship with Jesus? How's your time in worship? How's your time in getting in God's word, memorizing God's word? How's your time in discipleship and transparency and accountability? Mamas, how's your time with God? How's your time in the word? Are y'all with me? Moms and dads, take inventory to see where you are, and let's be honest with ourselves. Find out where we are. Hear from the Lord. The Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my grievous ways, and then lead me in the way everlasting. Everlasting, Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God. Lord, here I am. Are you willing? How about your marriage? Is your marriage a godly example for your children? Are you exemplifying a covenant in your marriage? Do your kids see you worshiping together? What example are we showing our children about what it means to have a godly marriage? We know marriage is not perfect. Dr. Carson said it's like taking two pieces of sandpaper and rubbing together. But he said just keep on rubbing because after a while they become smooth. Don't quit. Take inventory. How about our kids? Are we leading our kids in the way of the Lord? Are we training them up, like it says in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way that they should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart. Are we training our kids in the way, in the admonition of the Lord? Are we not only bringing them to church, but coming to church? Are we teaching them the word of God, reading the word of God, praying with them, praying for them, having them pray at the appropriate time? Are we training them up? Are we instructing them? Are we protecting them? Parents, one of the biggest ways we can fight for our family is to put boundaries and rules for our children. I know sometimes we say, well, I don't want to be a helicopter parent. I don't always want to be involved in everything. I do. Because if you don't, somebody else will. God, y'all, God will give us instruction on how to properly raise our kids. Do you believe it? He'll give us instruction on how to properly put boundaries and rules. Guess what? In boundaries and rules, there is protection. That's where our kids are protected. It's just like the word of God. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. This is our protection. This is our blessing. It's the same thing for us as parents to the kids. I've heard parents say, well, I don't want them to get mad at me. I don't care if you get mad at me. I'm not your friend. You got enough friends, and some of them you need to get rid of. Oh, can I get somebody to help me on that one? Kids don't know any better. That's why they have parents or father figures or mother figures. Robin and I took in Solomon, our nephew. We're not his biological parents. We're the parents that God gave to him. And a lot of times he didn't want to hear what I had to say. Ask me if I cared. I did not. And I said before y'all and God and the public, I do not care because I'm going to do what God says do. Do you love your kids enough to discipline them? Instruct, correct, discipline. Spread a rod, spoil the child. But Hebrews tells us this. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained in it. Discipline is painful. It's hard. All the parents in here, raise your hand if you ever get tired. Raise your hand, be honest. Okay, it's transparent. We're tired. Kids, they something else. Oh, but how we love them. We love them enough not to give up. We love them enough to discipline them in a godly fashion. There are consequences to actions, good and bad. When I played in the NFL, they said the NFL stands for not for long. Then they would turn on the film. Make a mistake if you want to. There's 5 guys on the streets that can come take your job. That's a consequence to every action. Now, I'm not saying it's that severe. We're not going to cut our kids or fire them. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is don't be afraid to discipline your children according to God's word. If you discipline them, you will save them. Instruct them. Correct them. Discipline them. That's how you fight for your family. Lastly, remember the Lord and finish the work. Remember the Lord. Great and awesome. Look back at verse 14 in Nehemiah. I got excited and lost mine. Okay, here it is. Verse 14. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. What did it say right there? Y'all said it together. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Remember the Lord. And finish the work. In Philippians 1:6, Paul said, I'm confident of this. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Jesus said when he was on the cross, it is finished. Y'all, we serve a God of completion. We serve a God who finishes. Nehemiah said the people got tired. They were burdened. But he also said they had a mind to work. They finished the job. I encourage you, even when you get tired, know that God is fighting for you. Those that contend with you, according to Isaiah 49, those that contend with you, God contends with them. Those that fight against you, God fights against them. Do not quit. Y'all, Nehemiah, and I hope you get time to go read this, he said, even the people that were carrying the materials would carry the material in one hand and the sword in the other. He said, when we went to sleep at night, we didn't even take our clothes off. They were alert. Be alert. Don't stop. Don't be afraid. Don't get weary. Amen? Amen. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your family. As a family of God, we've come to the time to go to the Lord's table. We're going to take Lord's Supper together today. And I remind each of us, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, examine yourselves, examine your heart before the Lord, before you take of the table. We'll consecrate ourselves before the Lord as we take Lord's Supper. This is a serious time, and a time for us as individuals and as a family to partake of the Lord's Supper. I pray that your hearts will be consecrated before him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for these, your people. Lord God, as we examine ourselves and consecrate ourselves before you, Lord God, I pray you will speak to our hearts. Lord Jesus, that our hearts will be pure, that our hearts will be, oh Lord, that we will have a spirit of repentance. Lord God, a spirit of transparency and accountability as we come to your table. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed. Thank you that your body was broken, that you sacrificed, the ultimate sacrifice for us. But we thank God on the third day that you were raised from the dead and now sit at the right hand of the throne of the Father, making intercession for your people. And Father, we know that Jesus, you will come back again. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come?
Thank you.
Amen. On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of this, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the sins of many. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. We've come to our time of invitation. I pray that your hearts are blessed and that your hearts are encouraged today as we fight for our families, as we fight for our walk with God. There may be some here this morning, and you say, "Well, Pastor Scott, I want to be in the fight, but I don't know Jesus for myself." This is your family. This is your day. The Bible says that today is the day of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. God sent his only son to die on the cross for you and I, to shed his blood for the remission of our sin. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, our pastors are going to be down here in the front. Your church family is praying for you. If you are here, we welcome you to come. We will pray for you, answer questions for you, and lead you in salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The number one thing, we all need a Savior. Amen? All have fallen short of the glory of God. If you want to know Jesus, please come. Maybe God is calling you to join the church, to join this precious family of Prestonwood, to come and to serve and to build God's kingdom with us. If that's you today, we welcome you to come and join the church. Maybe you want to be baptized like those that got baptized earlier this morning. It's always such a wonderful, not just an occasion, but a joyful, joyful time in the Lord to see people being baptized in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you want to be baptized. Will you come? We receive you today and we'll take you in the waters of baptism. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time of invitation. We pray you have your way. Lord Jesus, I pray you would bring those who you are calling. Lord God, let there be no hindrance. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Will you come?